First Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read verse 26 and then skip down to verse 51. Just while you're looking up your place, I don't think it's out of place to say to Nathan and Brian that we trust that the Lord will go with you in Suriname, that you will be a blessing to his people there, and that you will grow in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall be remembering you while you're away. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer together. Father, we pray that as we consider the last enemy, the enemy that has been called a king of terrors, pray that you would teach us from your word and that you would bless us with that same confidence and assurance that your servant has. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us tonight, and that you would bless us, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 23 in verse 4 is our text for this evening. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David changes the tone of the psalm in verse 4. In verses 1, 2, and 3, he has been speaking about the shepherd and about the things that the shepherd has promised to do. But in verse 4, he makes the change not to speak about the shepherd, but to speak to the shepherd. And how often Has it been the experience of God's people that speaking to the shepherd has brought the desired rest to our souls and blessing to our lives? I took the Sunday school class this morning. We looked at focusing on God in times of stress. And I said then that it was a rather strange experience concentrating on two messages almost on the same subject. Focusing on God in times of stress, well, walking through the valley of the shadow of death might be classed as a time of stress. David speaking to the Lord, and he's speaking to the Lord about an experience that for him is yet to come, although many believe that he's speaking about a literal valley that they would pass through as they traveled to worship the Lord. But we're going to take it tonight as the valley of the shadow of death. You know, it amazes me how many believers fear death. It amazes me how many who profess to love the Lord have that uncertainty in their hearts when it comes to facing, as I said in my prayer, the King of Terrors, the last enemy that we shall come to meet. Let us remind ourselves at the very beginning, it's the last enemy that is to be destroyed. And death is a defeated foe. But I want you to notice that verse 4 of Psalm 23 is a statement of assurance. It begins with the word yea. And that is an affirmation. David is speaking to God, and he is affirming from the depth of his being the reality of his confidence, the reality of his assurance, that when he comes to that valley of the shadow of death, that's not going to make a difference to his relationship with the Lord. We used to sing a hymn, I haven't sung it for years, "When I get to Jordan's shore, there'll be no dark river there, for Christ my Savior's gone before. There'll be no dark river there." David isn't afraid to speak about death or to face death. He affirms an absolute confidence, an absolute assurance in God and in his ability to take him through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to suggest to you this evening there are many valleys in our experience. We've just been singing of the God who is able to care for us whether we're in the vale or whether we're on the heights, on the mountaintop or in the valley. Psalmist writes about the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. You know, you can go through much sadness without going through the valley of the shadow of death. Book of Hosea, we're told that God would make the valley of Achor, a door of hope. What was the valley of Achor? It was the valley that they put Achan in. It was a valley of shame. It was a valley that reminded the people of Israel of the sin that had been committed. And God said that he was able to make even the valley of Achor a door of hope. It was the valley of Hinnom, where the heathens would make their sacrifices. And very often they would sacrifice their own children to strange gods. We get the word hell, Gehenna, from the word Hinnom, the valley of Hinnom. But David is writing about a specific valley. And he's expressing his confidence about that time when he will come to pass through that valley. You notice he doesn't say, yea, though we walk. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is a subject we don't hear much preaching about these days, but it's a very real subject. A subject that the Word of God has much to say on, and it's a subject I believe that the people of God do much suffering over, when in fact they ought to know more comfort in the valley of the shadow of death. But it's a valley that you and I are going to walk one day. We're going home. And if you're going home to heaven, you're either going to go by the valley of the shadow of death, or you're going to go by the air. Don't ask me which I would prefer. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, for the Lord to come and call his redeemed home. But many of God's children are called to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And as I said at the beginning, many of God's children that I've spoken to have an uneasy feeling in their hearts when it comes to the subject of death. I remember hearing an old Scottish Presbyterian minister preaching. And he told us that his dad was one of the most godly men he'd ever met. He loved the Lord, his life shone out for Christ. His dad took seriously ill and was in the bed of infirmity for a long time. And Gavin said, he went in to talk to his dad one day, and his dad said, son, I have a fear. Gavin Hastings said, I was absolutely stunned when my father said his heart was filled with fear as death was approaching. He said, son, I'm not afraid of what's going to happen at death. He says, I'm just afraid that I won't honor the Lord in death as I have sought to honor him in life. Gavin Hastings was a shepherd. He says, one morning he got up between 3 and 4 o'clock and he was going out to tend the flock, and as he was going past his father's room, he heard a very frail voice calling his name. He said, I quietly went into the room to see what was wrong with Dad. He said, I stood by his bedside, and he looked up at me and he said, son, I'm going home today. Gavin said, I looked down and I said, is that right, Daddy? He said, son, all my fears were unfounded. I'm going out to meet the Lord with absolute confidence in his ability to keep all of his promises. He said, you know what the problem was, son? He said, I wanted the grace to die before the Lord was ready to take me. The Lord didn't give me the grace until today. He said, when I opened my eyes this morning, I knew that the next time I open my eyes, I'll be in the presence of the Lord. The day has come to go home, and God has given me the grace. Beloved, God gives each one of his children the grace to die when the time comes to die. He doesn't give us the grace before it comes. He doesn't give us the grace when we don't need it. But he gives us the grace to go through the valley of the shadow of death in his time and to his praise and to his glory. It's a valley that you and I might well walk through very soon. I remember one evening in a little place called Skelmersdale in Lancashire, in England. I picked two people up for the meeting. One was a young man, 47 years old. The other one was a lady, a Mrs. Blackburn, who was 95. I've told you stories about Mrs. Blackburn before. As I was reading the scriptures, she'd be quoting them. And if she and I disagreed, the congregation all knew it was me that had made a mistake, because she never made a mistake. That's the truth. No matter where you read in the Word of God, she sat in the congregation, and we used to call it her own little whisper. She quoted the Word of God as you were reading it. Peter Davis and I were picking at her that night. She said she wasn't feeling good. And when I picked her up at night, I used to say to her, are you still here? You should have been in heaven years ago. She made a comment and Peter turned and says, ah, Mrs. Blackburn, you'll see yourself. A few weeks later, Peter was in a car wreck. A truck ran a red light. He was on a motorbike. He was unconscious for about 5.5 months before the Lord took him home. The last I heard, I was driving in Liverpool and they had the radio on, and the radio announcer said, congratulations to Mrs. Blackburn of Skelmersdale. She got a telegram from the Queen today. She's 100 years old. If you'd have asked me, I would have thought she would have gone first. Peter would have gone second, and I, being the youngest, would have gone last. Peter was called to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Mrs. Blackburn went on to be 100. Little boy asked his mom, Mom, what age do people die at? They walked round the cemetery, and the little boy exclaimed to his mom, Mom, people die at all ages. They die at all ages. I've taken a walk round the cemetery. I've seen their headstones. Not one of us is guaranteed another day, but we are guaranteed. Those who know the Lord are guaranteed the truth of the words of the psalmist David in Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I preached in that text at a funeral one day, and unbelievably, there's a lady called Doris Blackburn who lived in Liverpool, was in the little fellowship there. She came out and she said to me at the door after the funeral, and I thought I'd done a good job. She came out and she said, "You did good, you just made one mistake." I said, "Well, Doris, what was my mistake?" "Well," she said, "you spoke as if we go in the valley of the shadow and stay there. The Bible says we go through the valley." See, death is only a momentary enemy. It's not something we have to live in fear of or in fright of for long periods of time, because we have the promise of the God of heaven. It's a doorway to glory. It's a pathway to the reality of our everlasting life with Christ forever. I want to look at the word shadow for a moment. It's a word that only applies to the people of God. Death isn't a shadow for the ungodly. When a man or woman die without Christ, they face the terror of death in all its horrors. And it is for them a door into a lost eternity, an entrance into an eternity of misery and suffering. Beloved, we must never forget that. Men and women are dying every day. They're going out lost. Lost. Because they know not the Lord Jesus Christ. But for you and I, the Word of God says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Tell me, what do you need to make a shadow? Light. For the ungodly, death is a valley of darkness. A valley that leads to eternal darkness. But for the child of God, there's light in the valley of darkness. Why? Well, it could be the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I who are saved, we won't face death with all its terrors. We just pass through the shadow of death. Why? Because we have a Savior who is the light of the world, who went down into the valley of death and suffered death for us. Turn over with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 2. Let's read from verse 6 just to get the context. But One at a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You and I, who know the Lord, will go through the valley of the shadow of death. What does that mean? It means that we go through hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ. As I prepared my message, I thought about my loved ones. I remember taking my daddy's funeral and standing at the graveside, standing over the coffin and being able to declare with absolute confidence, Daddy, I know I'm going to see you again. In fact, I made such a thing of it that my daddy's oldest brother came to me afterwards and said, You didn't need to say all those things at the grave. I said, Uncle Davy, you're wrong. Uncle Davy, you're wrong. I needed to say all those things. I needed people to know that my daddy entered into death hand in hand with Jesus Christ. You were down into the valley of the shadow, and out the other side into the glory of heaven. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote when he wrote to the Thessalonians about the Lord's coming? He wrote to tell them, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want any confusion concerning those who die, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Why? He says, those who have fallen asleep, those who are alive and remain, will not hinder those who have fallen asleep. And he makes a statement as he's talking about death and those who have gone before, as he makes a statement as he's talking about the coming of the Lord, he says this, We sorrow not as others which have no hope. You know, I never really knew the meaning of those words until my young brother was killed. And on the same day as he was killed, a young man that Tom and I had gone to school with was killed. Tom said to me on the Saturday evening, or the Sunday evening, let's go down to see the Lockins family. We rode down and went into their home, and it was absolute misery. I don't think I've been in a place of such hopelessness and darkness in my whole Christian life. And as we walked out and we were walking to the end of the street, Tom turned to me and said, Joe, that's the difference Jesus made when it comes to death. Why? outside of Christ there is no hope in death. And David fixes his eyes firmly upon the Lord God of heaven, and he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, the Apostle Paul didn't mean that we don't sorrow. He meant that we don't sorrow as those who in death have no hope. You and I, just like David, and one day be called to go through the valley of the shadow of death. What is the source of your confidence? Why ought you to have no need to fear the valley of the shadow of death? Well, you have the same reasons as the psalmist David said. He said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. My, what a comfort that is. When I go down into that valley, I'm not going to go alone. I'm going to go with the one who conquered death for me. He's going to be with me all the way. I quote Pilgrim's Progress. They made a movie of it, and at the end of the movie, Satan's sitting and he's bemoaning. What's he bemoaning? Christian has entered into the celestial city. In the movie, Satan's sitting there and he's speaking to his emissaries. And he said, we did all that we could to stop him when we could not. There was nothing that Satan can do to stop one of the redeemed from going through the valley of the shadow of death into the presence of the glory of God. In the movie that I saw, it was made by Irish gospeler with whom I used to work for a while. Satan then turns and he looks straight into the camera and he says, come, my fellow workers, for we must go and be about our business. For there are others that we can keep from entering this glorious place. And all Satan wants with the unbeliever is to keep them without Christ until they pass through the valley of death. I said it in Sunday school this morning, we have a God who is our Savior, who has promised to look after us. And we can trust His promises. But there is an enemy of souls. Remember what Jesus said, don't fear them that can kill the body, but fear Him that can kill the soul. Don't fear those who can do you physical harm or their memory, but fear Him, one who can get you to that valley of death without knowing Christ. I'm not going to tell you His name, but after the meeting this morning, a young man came to me, standing at the door, and he said, I want to speak to you. We went back into one of the Sunday school rooms,
and of the joy of seeing that young man come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. In a moment, he went from the possibility of going through the valley of death to the reality that now the valley is just the valley of the shadow, because he's going to go through it hand in hand with Jesus. Years ago, a lady asked me if I would visit her nephew. I said I would. She said, "I'll call you before you go." I wondered what she needed to call me about. When she did, I was horrified. She said, "My nephew's a homosexual. He's dying of AIDS." I drove to the hospital. When I would visit someone in hospital, I hold their hand, or I stroke their brow, or I put my hands in my pocket that day. I wasn't touching anything or anybody. But I prayed the whole way up. I said, "God, I don't know what to say to this young man. He and I have got nothing in common." I walked in, stood in that hospital room. I said, "I'm Joe Gould. I'm your aunt's pastor." He turned his head and looked the other way. I said to him, "Your aunt tells me that you and I have got the same problem." This time he turned his head towards me and he stared at me. He said, "Your aunt tells me you're a sinner. You just expressed your sin a different way than I did." I had the joy of sharing the gospel with him of how Jesus Christ could save sinners. Following Sunday, his aunt came to me and said, "He passed away Saturday morning. The last words he spoke were to me." As he looked up and he looked at his aunt and said, "Tell the preacher I trusted Jesus. Tell the preacher I trusted Jesus." His aunt said his mother flew into a rage. She said she'd fought all her life to accept his alternative lifestyle. Now, before he died, he'd become a Christian, gone out to heaven. You know, beloved, what David says is the reality of death when it is faced by the child of God. And until a man or woman dies, there is hope. There is hope of salvation. The night when Diane Irie began dating Irie, traveled over to Liverpool, and stayed in the house of a man called Harry Westerside and his wife Edna. Many times Harry and I talked about his father, but from the day Harry got saved, his father wouldn't speak to him. Remember the last time I talked to Harry, he told me what had happened. His dad had been seriously ill for months and months, and Harry was a male nurse, and he would go to see Dad every evening before he went to work. He said one night his dad turned to him and said, "Will you pray with me?" And Harry said, Joe, I heard it all wrong. I thought he was saying, would you pray for me? And he said, I leaned on the bottom of his bed. And I said, Dad, I prayed for you every day since I got saved. He said, son, I didn't ask you to pray for me. I asked you to pray with me. That night he led his dad to Christ. They called him at 3:30 in the morning. They said, Harry, your dad is dead. He said, no, my dad has gone home. Saved hours before he went out to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Is there comfort in death? Only for those who know Christ. Only for those who put their hand in the hand of the nail-scarred Christ of God. I love the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says that God is the Father of mercies. Listen, the God of all comfort. Tell me, do you think he's able to comfort you in the valley of the shadow of death? David says, I'm absolutely confident. I have absolute assurance that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, when I come to go through that valley, there could be a lot of people who stand there and say, God, he doesn't deserve to go to heaven. And they'd be absolutely right. But God would just tell them the same that I would tell them. I'm not going because I deserve to go. I'm going because Jesus died so that the valley might be a shadow. But I can pass through to get to be with him for all eternity. Let me remind you of one more text before I close. My time is gone. Jesus in John 17 is speaking to the Father, and what a prayer it is. What a ministry of intercession he exercises. And he prays for you and me who are saved. He prays, Father, I will that them that thou hast given me be with me where I am, to behold my glory. And the answer of heaven was, Amen. It shall be done. Why? Because one day he'll stand in the glory of heaven and he'll speak to the Father and he'll say, Father, these are they which thou hast given me. Of them that thou hast given me I have lost none save the son of perdition. You won't get lost in the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, you'll go through it if that's the way God called you to go. Those who are saved will go through it hand in hand with the Savior who's already been there before and conquered death on our behalf. Is it any wonder David has such confidence, such assurance? And he was looking forward to Calvary. How much more you and I to look back to the cross. We hear the good shepherd saying, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the sheep are able to turn to the good shepherd and say, Lord, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Nothing can hinder me. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, rod and staff for protection, they comfort me. Beloved, you only need to fear death if you don't have Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have nothing to fear. Let's bow our hearts in prayer together. Our Father, we thank you for the words of the hymn writer. When he wrote, there is light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. We thank you, our Father, for everyone in this meeting who is saved, who knows the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving way. Father, we pray that we may enjoy that assurance that whether we go by the grave or whether we go by the air, we're going home. With no need to fear either way. Father, we pray for any in this meeting who do not know the Savior, for whom death would indeed be a terror. Oh, that even today you might save them before it is too late. We thank you for gathering in one of your elect this day, bringing them to saving faith in Christ. We rejoice as the angels in heaven rejoice. In Jesus' name, Amen.